Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. I'm Rob Schofield. North Carolina is now 7 years into its controversial experiment with providing public funding for private school vouchers, and the program continues to exhibit a host of serious flaws, from a general lack of accountability to the use of religious texts masquerading as science to the blatant discrimination many schools display towards LGBT kids and their families. Earlier this week, I got a briefing on the scope of this troubling situation when I caught up with one of the state's top education policy researchers, veteran Duke University law professor and children's advocate, Jane Wettick.
Well, Professor Jane Wettick, welcome back to News and Views. Good to have you back with us.
Thanks, Rob. Nice to be here.
School vouchers. You are one of the recognized experts in North Carolina. You helped author a major report that was issued in 2020. The issue of school vouchers remains front and center in North Carolina education policy debates. The General Assembly is taking new actions to expand the program. Can you remind us what the deal is with school vouchers, what we call opportunity scholarships in North Carolina? How's this system basically set up and how's it supposed to work?
Sure. The Opportunity Scholarship Program is a program that allows private school students to apply to the state of North Carolina for a payment, often known as a voucher payment, to help them pay tuition at a private school. That's the basic outline of the program.
It's not available to everybody all the time. There are some limits on the size of the program and how extensive it can be, right?
Right. So there are financial limits on the families that are eligible. Right now, the limit is 150% of the eligibility for the federal free and reduced lunch program. That takes a family of four up to about $75,000 a year in income. So families of that level are eligible, which is probably more than half the families in the state that have public school children or have children of school age. And there are some limits on having previously gone to public schools. So most students have to have at least gone to public school the previous semester. That limit does not apply to kindergartners and first graders. So they can come in without having tried public school. There are a few other exemptions from the having tried public school as well. One is students of families, active military families, students in foster care don't have to meet that requirement either.
So clearly, the Republican majority of the General Assembly is of the mind that they want this program to continue to grow and expand. Representatives Paul Stamm, who was a longtime leader in the House Republican caucus and who helped spearhead the initiation of opportunity scholarships, at one point said he really wanted every school in North Carolina to be a voucher school. And it would seem that a lot of Republican lawmakers share that sentiment. And indeed, the program itself is a very freewheeling, if you will, program compared to other states that have voucher programs. There aren't a lot of restrictions on how it works. There aren't a lot of checks and balances, you might say.
Right. So North Carolina has very few requirements of private schools in general as compared to other states. But when you add the voucher programs, other states have added requirements, for example, on curriculum, on teacher qualification, on testing, and a variety of other things to assure that the children who are getting the publicly funded vouchers are assured to be getting a decent education, or at least an education that is somewhat equivalent to the education they would get in public schools. But in North Carolina, we don't have that. We don't have anything about what the curriculum needs to be, anything about what the testing needs to be. There's no way for us to know whether the private schools that are accepting these voucher students and voucher payments have any quality at all. They could be teaching nothing and we wouldn't really know about it. I think the view on that by the supporters of the voucher programs is that parents are in charge. And so if the parents are happy with the quality of the education that their child is getting in the private school, that's all that matters. So they really are thinking of it as the contract is between the parents and the school, and the state really doesn't have a role in deciding whether or not the quality of the education is good enough. So that's a real philosophical difference that is reflected there from people who believe that the education of our children writ large is a public matter, and that the public does have an interest in assuring that our children do get an education. Of course, we know that the Constitution requires that the state make the opportunity available for all students to get a sound basic education. And one might argue that with regard to private schools, the state has abdicated on that responsibility.
One thing that clearly stands out is the fact, of course, that the overwhelming majority of these schools are religious schools. Many of them use, and perhaps even a large majority use, what we might call biblically based curricula. This has been raised in particular with respect to issues like science, where we know that textbooks are being used that teach basically a religious view of human history. And in fact, things that are not scientifically based, biblical creation view of the rise of human beings and life on earth, that really don't have anything to do with science. But yet this is being taught with public funds in North Carolina.
That's right. The North Carolina League of Women Voters did a study and looked at the curricula used by the schools that were receiving voucher payments and found that about 3/4 of them are using a biblically based curricula. They also asked a history professor at UNC to review the curricula, and the professor said it was just riddled with historical errors. So it's troubling to think of those students that are not being exposed to the standards that North Carolina has set for what children should learn in school.
And of course, the other aspect to the fact that the schools are principally religious schools is the fact that many literally will not accept children who may be LGBT or who come from families that are not deemed acceptable in the eyes of the religious precepts of that particular school. They literally pick and choose children based on the religion, the beliefs, the behavior of their parents.
That's exactly right. And many of them do have enrollment criteria that require certain beliefs to be expressed by the parents and the students before they can be admitted to the school. They are restricted from discriminating on the basis of race and national origin and sex, but as you say, not sexual identity and not religion grounds.
We're talking with Professor Jane Wettick of the Duke University Law School about the issue of school vouchers in North Carolina and the fact that remains in many respects a very unaccountable program. There are a lot of criticisms, Jane, that have been leveled at vouchers, but that doesn't seem to be stopping the General Assembly from bringing a great deal of enthusiasm to the idea of funding them. There is increasing efforts to pour more public dollars into school vouchers.
The budget that is currently under consideration would add another $1 billion on top of the first $1 billion, taking us through the academic year 2027-28. Even though the money that was previously appropriated was not all spent. So there were fewer enrollees than were anticipated by the General Assembly, which may be one of the reasons that eligibility criteria have been expanded, because there may have been some disappointment that not as many children participate as the legislature had hoped. In fact, it's still only about 1% of the children in North Carolina who participate in the voucher program. So it's not yet really encroaching in a large way into the public school population.
Perhaps worth pointing out at the same moment that we continue to increase the funding for vouchers, funding for public education in general remains flat or depressed in North Carolina. In fact, there have been studies that have shown that when it comes to effort of a state in terms of what our ability to pay for public education would be and how much we're actually spending on it, North Carolina arguably is at the bottom of the pack
right
after the last decade of modest investments in public schools.
Many states pledge more of their GDP to education than North Carolina does. We're in the bottom quarter in terms of how much of our GDP we are willing to spend on the public schools.
I guess the question that really stands out is, what do we do about this? I mean, obviously, there are some critics who think that the school voucher program ought to go away, that it has basically failed North Carolina students. But assuming perhaps that that's not going to happen anytime soon, are there specific things that if the legislature really took this seriously, they could at least do to make improvements in our system so that we at least maybe had a higher degree of accountability and an assurance that public dollars are going to at least a somewhat productive purpose?
Right. I mean, certainly they could do what a lot of states have done and require that the curricula at schools that accept vouchers be equivalent, is the word that's used in many state statutes, that there's an equivalent curriculum, that the subject matters that are covered are the same for what is taught in terms of, as we talked about earlier, scientific principles, for example, are taught. Another thing that North Carolina doesn't do is have any requirements on the qualifications of the teachers. There could be a requirement that some percentage of teachers at a particular private school be certified teachers. There also could be an evaluation program of, so we could know as public, how well are these students doing? Are these students advancing as we think they should? But right now we can't do that because there's no testing program that would allow us to compare apples to apples with the students. So we could ask the public school students, a percentage of the public school students and a percentage of the voucher students, to take the same test so that we could do some kind of apples to apples comparison on whether the voucher students are doing well or are not doing well.
Jane Wettick is a professor of law at Duke University Law School. Her report, School Vouchers in North Carolina, 2014 to 2020, it was an analysis of how the program has worked, remains really the seminal study on school vouchers in North Carolina. Thank you so much for doing this important work.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
Well, that's it for this edition of News and Views. Remember, you can check us out online and subscribe for free to some of our state's best news coverage and political commentary at ncpolicywatch.com. For producer Clayton Henkel, it's Rob Schofield. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again next week.
You've been listening to News and Views. A weekly look at state and policy issues is a production of North Carolina Policy Watch. Visit them online at ncpolicywatch.com.